Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello, and welcome to Visible by Numbers being broadcast on beautiful BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the Internet. And this is your host, Allison, and thank you so much for being here. Happy you decided to join us. And why wouldn't you want to join us? Because we have one of the world's best-known psychic mediums on the show, none other than James von Prague himself. And you know, as long as I can remember, James von Prague has been an icon in the spiritual arena. So let me just tell you a little bit about him, not that he needs much of an introduction, but his popularity began during his appearances on the NBC talk show, The Other Side. And through the years, his message of hope has touched a great many more people due to his television appearances on such shows as Oprah, Larry King Live, Dr. Phil, A&E Biography, Maury Povich, 2020, and 48 Hours. And James has produced successful television projects such as Beyond with James von Prague, Talking to Heaven, The Dead Will Tell, and of course, the hit CBS primetime series Ghost Whisperer. James has also taught mediumship classes and conducted seminars to sold-out audiences for years. And if that isn't enough, add to that author. James has taken his unique paranormal experiences during the past 25 years, and he's just recorded them in some of the greatest best-selling books, Talking to Heaven, Reaching to Heaven, Healing Grief, Heaven and Earth, Making the Psychic Connection, also a book for teens, A Teen Guide to the Spiritual World. He wrote a book on meditations. His last book, Ghost Among Us, was released to critical acclaim. It ended up on the New York Times bestseller list, and it was number one on Amazon bestseller. So tonight, we get an in-person, one-on-one glimpse into James' soon-to-be-released new book, Growing Up in Heaven, as well as we get to discuss his long and distinguished career. I think it's time to welcome him to the show. Hi, James.
Hi, thank you very much for that very nice introduction. Boy, the older I get, the longer the introductions are.
Well, I got to say, it's really hard to shorten your biography down.
Yeah, I've been around a long time.
I could have done the 55 minutes just talking about what you've done in your life, but, you know, hey, we got to talk to you, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so James, you know, personally myself, and I've got to take it from a personal experience that one of the first books that I picked up when I was exploring spiritual philosophy were your books, but one in particular, Heaven and Earth, was one that literally it brought me to tears, because that was a book that had a profound influence on me because it helped me to understand me and a lot of the things that were going on in my life. So I want you to know that just, you know, as a person, I truly appreciate you putting all this into books. But I do want to talk to you about your newest book that's coming out May 24th, right?
Is that right? Right, next week. I'm getting it. Yes, I'm pregnant. I'm all ready for delivery. Yes. It's like giving birth, I tell you, because you really work on this for, you know, a long time. And when the day comes for the book to be launched, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
May 24th.
Right. And you guys, just so you know, you can pre-order it on Amazon.com.
Please pre-order it on Amazon.com. I would appreciate that.
Yeah, and James has got his luggage packed because I've seen your website, and I know you're going on a book tour. So
I'm going on a book tour. It's crazy. And I kind of get involved in everything with a book. From I flew to San Francisco to the publisher and worked on the cover with them, and all down to the layout of the book. And I really get involved because I want to make sure that the essence of the messages that I give to people at my workshops and that I write about, that's really in the book itself. So
right. People
that read it can really have that experience all over again.
Well, I happened to attend one of your book signings in Exton, PA, and I have to say, James, you were so generous to the people that came for the book signing. You were extremely funny. And I really absolutely enjoyed your talk prior to the book signing. So anybody out there that if you get an opportunity to go to a book signing, I tell you, James is just fantastic.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And all the schedules for my book signings will be on my website, vanprog.com. And actually, right now, we have people in the chat room there. Hello to everybody there. It's a frivolity room, so they're having fun in there, or just listening to your show. And all the I'm going to go to probably four or five different cities, and I'm doing signings at every one of those cities. And I'll be giving a talk, and I appreciate you saying I'm funny, because I never know what I'm going to say at these talks, and I just like to meet people, and it's always good to get a different perspective, you know, from my immediate dead people.
My immediate thought was, well, you know what, if he doesn't make it as a psychic medium, he's got a career as a comedian, and that's just me.
That's so funny you say that, because the first psychic I went to when I was 18 years old, she said to me, the first thing she said to me was, you know, you're a stand-up comic, and I said, no, I'm not. She goes, yeah, you're a stand-up comic, and I said, no, I'm really not, and she said, well, you can always do that as a career. And I didn't think that was possible. So,
a lot of people say that
I'm, you know, I am a stand-up comic. I like to have fun, and that's my personality. But also, I find that the subject matter of death can be very, very heavy to a lot of people.
Sure.
And of course, but you know, I always tell people, once you realize there is no death, and there is a joy in that, and you'll see your loved ones again.
Sure.
Then you have to see the fun in it too, the joyfulness in it. So I try to bring that in my work with all my lectures and my shows.
Right. Well, you were just. I mean, Pennsylvania, they're a tough crowd. They're a little bit serious sometimes.
That was a very interesting place. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But that was I make the best of it. It was I went to the tile floor, if I remember correctly. Yes.
Well, I was. I'm from New York, okay? I live in Pennsylvania. They're a little bit of a tough crowd. But I tell you, I was sitting there with a permagrin laughing at everything you said, so I thought you were hysterical. But anyhow.
Well, can I just throw in a real quick one for that people listening to that? In New York City, that's the toughest audience in New York, the toughest audience in the country, I must say, probably around the world. And I remember the first time I did an event there, and it was about 2,000 people in this theater. And they were very New York. I'm from New York, so I know what they're like. They were screaming when I walked out on stage, come to me, come to me, come to me. And I thought I had to get in control of this crowd because they'll just eat me up alive. And this one girl was very, very loud, and everyone could hear her. And she said, what would my brother say to you if he came to you? And I waited a few seconds, and I said, well, he'd probably tell you to shut up. And everybody loved it. And they understood exactly where I was coming from and that, you know, everyone should be appropriate. And so right away, it set the tone. Be nice and behave, and everything will go smoothly.
All right, right. Well, anyhow. Well, let's get down to business here. So growing up in heaven, tell us, tell our listeners, because, you know, what's the topic, what's it about, and also why this particular topic, what was your motivation in writing this particular book?
Well, growing up in heaven is really, I've had over, 25 to 30 years, close to 30 years now, communicating with spirits. And I always find that when children come through and communicate, number one, they're the easiest communicators. They're easy because they don't have judgments as we do as adults. And there is purity to their messages and innocence, if you will. And I've worked so much with the parents of lost children. And this is kind of a book for parents of lost children, but for everybody, but also for a lot of those parents that have lost children who feel their lives are over once the child has passed on. And it's not true. It's that soul's mission is to come here and share a small amount of time. That's all the lessons they have to learn, maybe 10 years on this earth, 20 years on this earth, and then it's their time to go back home. And it's really a book to show people that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, not the other way around, and how to change your perspective. And the best way to do that is through the eyes of a child, I find. Mm-hmm. So the book is really a guide to the other side, the spirit world, through a child's eyes, a child who passes over, and what children do on the other side when they pass over to spirit. People say, what do they do in heaven or the spirit world? So in the book, I describe the activities they do, places that what they look like over there, what the vistas, if you will, the buildings, the activities that they do there. How do they prepare for another lifetime? Where else do they go besides the earth? Are there other places to go to? And how does that soul know which group of souls it's going to come back with? How do we pick families? How do we pick soul groups, if you will? How do we partner up? What's our soul imprint? What experiences from other lifetimes, other places we've had life experiences, how do they character or color our next life? So the book describes that as well. It's very in-depth about the spirit world and, you know, what pretty much what a child does. You know, when we say a child passes over, it's kind of it's a very limited perspective because in this lifetime it's a child, but really it's a soul, and a soul is ageless and timeless. Sure. So when they go back to the side of life, they're a full-grown soul. The personality they just had as of a child. But you have to remember that we are souls, and we've been around many, many times.
Sure. Well, you know, so, I remember going back to sitting at that book signing for your last book, and you said something that really was profound for me, and perhaps I might not phrase it as perfectly as you said it, but, you know, so many times when people lose a child, it's such an incredibly hard thing, and they have such, that's one of the most difficult things. And someone, I think, in the crowd asked you about that, and one thing that you said was that sometimes when we can't understand when somebody crosses over, when it seems like they've passed too young, mm-hmm. or when it wasn't their time, but what we don't understand is sometimes they can be so much more helpful to us on the other side than they ever could have been here in the physical.
Oh, very true.
And yes. You said that, and, you know, it's one of those moments where you get those cold chills up your arms, and you know mm-hmm. that was the truth, and it just was extremely profound for me when you said that. And mm-hmm. and just you describing this book, I don't know, if I was on Amazon right then and there, I would have hit the buy button, because everything...
Well, they should hit the buy button. It's just, I'm so biased, but it's true. I don't know. You know, I just channel this material. You know, when I wrote this book, every book that I write, whenever there's a process I go through, and the process is every morning I will meditate and I ask Spirit to come through, who's ever meant to come through, and what the message is. Now, I know the outline of the book I want to do, but really, and I know the certain stories that will be in that book, at least I think I do, but in this book, in several of the other books, but this book I remember, I was almost toward the end, and all of a sudden a whole experience happened that I had a memory of when I was 8 years old, and I put it in the book. And what happened was, I'm just going to jump on this if you don't mind. When I was in school and I was 8 years old, I looked out the window daydreaming, and a spirit boy came through the window. And he said something to me. He said, "You want to see who you really are?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Here you are." And he showed me a design. And he said, this is it. This is a design of who you are. And it was very interesting. And it was this geometric design. And... now, I didn't remember this until it was at the end of this book I'm writing now, Growing Up in Heaven. And it was the last chapter of Growing Up in Heaven, I'm writing it. And all of a sudden, I had that memory that was impressed upon me that I was 8 years old, so that was over 40 years ago.
Wow.
And the same image, the same memory of seeing the spirit child come to me in the schoolroom, he came over to me and he said, "This is who you are." And then I saw that geometric design, and he said to me, well, then I knew at this time I was writing the book, it's called The Soul Imprint.
Right.
And I drew it in this book. It's in Growing Up in Heaven. I had the publisher design. I showed them the design, and I actually mm-hmm. put it in the book. And in the soul imprint, it is kind of like a diamond. And mm-hmm. every single facet is a lifetime that you've had to experience.
Sure.
So, and the whole book is all about the soul, what the soul is, the soul experiences. Going back to what you asked me or what you discussed before, it's very, very true when people like parents say, "Now, my child should not die, the parents should die before the child," which naturally that's what we think, of course. And no child, no one should die when they're a baby. What's the sense of having a baby and it dies, and so forth? We don't know. We don't know from this perspective in this three-dimensional world, which is very limiting, by the way. Three-dimensional is so limiting because we're multidimensional, so many dimensions, that in this three-dimensional world, we don't know all the truth. We can't see the right answers.
Sure.
It seems that when you pass over to spirit levels, you do have the answer. You do see the full picture, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm going to go back to the soul. The soul comes back to learn lessons. And we come back on this earth to learn many, many lessons, whether those lessons have to do with compassion, forgiveness,
sure.
patience, whatever it might be. We pick various parents, various friends, various groups, if you will, who have been with many times before in other places, perhaps. And just like Shakespeare said, you know, life's like a play, and it's true, we're acting out these characters. In another lifetime, sometimes the parent in this lifetime, they could have left when they were a baby in another lifetime. And so this time around, they have to feel like what it's like to lose somebody.
Sure.
So it balances out. It's the yin and the yang, if you will. It's the wholeness of being.
Sure. You're talking my language. So
okay, there you go. Yeah. Well, you know, you're a numerologist, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm a nine. I'm a number nine life path.
That's a spiritual teacher. You're
there you go.
Through and through. Okay.
Yeah.
So you actually are doing what you were meant to do.
What I came back to do, which I feel that most people. I think most people feel that, don't you think? I mean, at least people that you've been interviewing and you, but we attract to us.
Right.
I think the people that you and I, you know, who are in this whole thing. We kind of attract those people who are into this because of the same vibration, if you will.
Sure, Exactly. Like draws like.
Like.
So, you know, what always fascinates me is when I go on shows or I go to events, and I know the energy in the numbers of the person throwing the event or the host of the show, and inevitably, everybody that calls in or everybody that's at the event has the energy of the host, okay?
Isn't it amazing?
It is amazing, and it plays itself out, you know, it defies the odds. It defies the odds when that happens, so I always find that really, really fascinating.
Well, you know, that goes also with, of course, it's all energy, and as you know, numbers, where everything's measured by numbers, it's all universe. When I go to do a group demonstration, I will immediately, you know, well, you've seen me. I go there and I talk to the audience and, of course, questions and answers because a lot of these people have never seen a medium in person. But they've seen them on TV and they have this, you know, a predisposed idea of what a medium is. And they meet me and it completely changes their whole idea. And what I do is I bring them to, I meditate. I meditate the entire group. We do a group meditation. And people say, why do you do that? Why can't you just jump into the messages? And I say, well, you have to remember that people come to these demonstrations or these shows with all different life experiences and all different needs, if you will, and expectations. And as if you would say, they're all different numbers. So what I do is I meditate with everybody. I guide them in a meditation to bring them to a certain frequency of vibration, if you will, another number, right? So that energy is all the same. It blends it all together, and we're all one. And as we do that, it's easier to open the door to spirit, so spirit can come through. And that's, I think that's our responsibility as human beings on this earth, asking to communicate with the spiritual dimensions, is really to help them out as much as we possibly can by giving them energy to work. So that's why I do that. But just like you were saying, it's all energetic. It's all energy.
It's all energetic, exactly. And, you know, quite frankly, I studied numerology first, and numerology has the language in it that speaks about clairvoyance, mediums, channelers, prophecy. It speaks about the soul. It speaks about picking your parents and picking your name and the lessons and the challenges in life. So I studied numerology first, and then I decided, well, now I have to study spirituality because that's where it was taking me. And like I say, then I started the journey with your books and beyond. And everything about spirituality is validated in numerology. And to me, it's just awe-inspiring to just sit there and just to be able to understand it, and it is amazing. You validate everything that I know, and so.
Well, it's funny because all it is, it's all the same language. It's just said differently,
exactly.
Right? If we all the same language, just said differently, we speak different.
It's
the same
different
thing.
Way, exactly.
Different ways.
Exactly.
Same with religion too. I mean, I think most religions are all all have bits of the truth. Not any one religion is all the truth, but it's all bits of the truth, and it all comes down to one vibration, which is love. That's all it is love. We're all
it's
love. That's
love.
All it is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, besides the book, I do want to mention your amazing website. And I have to say, James, that many, many years ago when I had a lot more time on my hands, I was a regular chatter. And I've seen...
You a regular chatter on my website?
Absolutely.
Well, you better get back in there. We're waiting in the quality room for you.
I got to jump back in there. But let me tell you, I was in awe of the healing that took place between the chatters, the healing that takes place. There are people that come that have lost loved ones and they find hope. All the information, you've built it into such a resource for people. And I don't know if you even vaguely understand how many people you've helped through your website, but I know because, you know, I know hundreds of stories of people that have found comfort by going there.
Oh, thank you. I really, really appreciate that. And I will say that it was the number one website, the first website ever to discuss grief and losing someone and mediumship back in the early 90s when it was still dial-up. And Cami Ferrone, who was my assistant, naturally the website administrator, and she's there right now, I owe everything to her because she's really taken care of that website a lot and really loves it. And it's like a child of hers. And, yeah, it is a great place for people to go to who have questions about life after death, about spirituality, about phenomena, about religion, whatever they... And it's a very non-judgmental website, too.
Exactly.
I mean, and it's a place for people to go and to learn. And to, we've had great friends come out of that. We've had marriages come out of it. We've had just great times. We've met some great people there.
I know lots of people still to this day that I met in your chat room and that you helped through the messages there. But I got to mention one thing, because you had a chat event where you came and it was... for Christmas, so it was around Christmas time.
I go on regularly to do chats there. Yeah.
You and really, how amazing is that? That you come, you have a busy schedule, I know, and you come in and you do a chat for your chatters. And I was there that one time, and your spirit guide came through, and as I recall, what he said was is that he promised every person that was there in chat that they would get a sign from their spirit guide.
Wow, I remember that. That was a while. That was years ago. Yeah,
it was years ago.
Wow.
But let me tell you that I always wanted to tell you, but I didn't know how to get the message through to you, and I don't even know if you ever saw it on a message board.
Wow.
Do you know that here it is in the dead of winter? I'm in my kitchen. And all of a sudden, I look at my front window, and do you know what's at my front window? A hummingbird.
Oh, and my goodness.
It was within 24 hours of that particular trip, and I remember staring at it going, oh, my God, he's good. He is so good.
But you also were open to it, so you knew that that was it. Because you might
I knew.
Known.
A hummingbird at your window?
In the winter, yeah, exactly.
I'm thinking, I think that's it. So it was amazing. And so
that was an amazing night. I remember that. Now that you said that, yeah, that was quite a few years ago.
It was.
Yeah.
And miracles happen, and miracles come out of that place. And
they do. They really, really do. It's a great place to be part of. And I go there every day. I check every day I'm on there checking around the message board or the chat room, and I poke my head in there and look at what's going on. So
okay.
It's all good.
It's all good. Well, I want to ask you one thing, you know, because I'm not saying you're old, but you've been around a long time.
I'm old. I'm old.
You're not as old as me.
I'm an old soul.
You're an old soul. Absolutely. And your chart says, your numerology says you're an old soul. Okay. So anyhow, you've been working as a psychic medium. You've been very successful. But back in the day, I mean, the idea of mediumship was not particularly as acceptable as it is now.
Right.
And today we see all this information in the media. We see it in television programming. There's so many books now.
Yeah.
And times, they are changing, and you see psychics and mediums popping up in mainstream TV. They've even been on the Real Housewives series, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking you, do you consider yourself a pioneer, kind of paving the way? You know,
yes.
Because you really are.
You betcha.
You got the battle scars to prove it.
You betcha. You know, it's very funny because I came to Los Angeles to be a sitcom writer. There you go. And that was my dream. I thought I was going to I got a broadcasting degree after San Francisco State. I moved down here. I was promised a job at a TV show, Hill Street Blues. That never happened. It was my last dollar getting here. Almost sold my blood, the whole Hollywood story. It's so true. And I ended up getting a job at a production company and running around delivering scripts and different things. Anyway, I went to a medium from England through this girl I knew, and she said, "You want to see a medium?" I didn't know what a medium was. And when he did the reading, he recognized something about me, or he was told something about me that I was going to, my guides were there, and the spirit world was planning on using me to change the consciousness of the planet. And I'm thinking, what the hell is this man talking about? I just want to write sitcoms. And I didn't necessarily believe in this sort of thing until I started meditating, and then things came back to me as a child, and I'd see spirit and see colors, auras, and so forth. And, the prediction came true. I mean, I definitely, in that time that I started doing this work, really no one but George Anderson in New York was the only one that was well known about doing this. He was the only one. And then I did the show The Other Side on NBC, as you mentioned earlier. And really, I was the only one on that there. And then they brought in Sylvia Brown. I'd never heard of her. And she was more of a psychic, if you will. And then I went to Long Island, and someone called me up and said, would you mind doing a show with this lady named Shelley Peck, who was a spiritual medium? I said, sure. And because it was very popular on the show The Other Side, I mean, I would get thousands of letters a week. And they had done a show 19 times. And this lady, Shelley Peck, said, would you mind doing like an evening of spirit demonstration? I have a friend of mine. His name is John Edwards. Would you like to do it with him? He's not, you know, he works in a hospital, but he does this on the side. I said, sure. So that was back in, I think, 92. John actually knows the exact date. And I remember he's standing in the back of the room. He was talking to my sister, and I was up there doing my work. And later, she told me, John ever said, I don't want to be like your brother. I'd never want to be on TV. And I remember telling him, you need to quit your job at the hospital and do more work. And funny thing, crossing over the people that did that show, the producers originally, they called me up because my book Talking to Heaven was out there, and that was big. It was a big deal that got out there to so many people, and. Sure. They called me. They wanted me to do that, and they told me about the show. And I said, "No, I'm really in California, but there's a man in New York I know that might be able to interested in do that show." So they called John Edwards. That's how John got that show. And through myself and John and other people, you know, that's really helped change the consciousness. I'm not the only one, of course. Many mediums But John's done a great job as well, really getting it out there. And it's very funny because in the UK, mediums are a dime a dozen. They're all over the place.
Sure.
But in this country, you don't see them so often. But they do exist in spiritual churches and smaller communities. But,
sure.
You know, I think I just brought it to the forefront. And that was my, again, my job, my job this time around, I think, was to be on television and to bring this, to change the consciousness.
Here.
Yeah,
sure.
To bring it out.
Absolutely.
And one thing, too, I'm going to tell you, which maybe will help a lot of people listening to the show. From a very young age, I never cared what people thought of me.
That's helpful.
Don't. Because if you get caught up in that stuff, then you're being caught up in their stuff, not your stuff. And I always say to people, it's none of my business what you think of me. Because
right.
No one knows you better than know yourself.
Exactly.
So you just want to be true to yourself, and you'll get, you know, and you'll do your
thing.
Look
at that wisdom you brought, too. See, that's really...
And it's so simple, isn't it? It's simple.
It's very simple, yes.
Yeah.
Well, you've done so much in your career, and you really have achieved the greatest of success. So what's left on your plate? What's on your bucket
well,
list?
Let's
what do you
see.
Want to do?
Well, let's see. I'm going to Egypt in September and Israel. And I'm doing a cruise in September, which is on my website. And the Celebrity Cruise Line, it's a new ship, comes out in July. And they just lowered the price down $2,000, so it's like $1,000 for this cruise. So I'm doing that in September. And we only have like 60-something people, so I'm teaching for an entire week and also doing the sightseeing. And so if people want to do that with me, they're welcome to do that, join me on that. So I'm doing that. And then what else am I doing? I'm doing a lot of touring. I'm touring all over the country. I'm touring over the U.S., and
sure.
England. I'm going to the U.K. next in June. I'm going to the U.K.
Right. And well, I took a look at your appearances, upcoming appearances, and I know your book tour is going to get a heck of a lot busier. But I mean, all I can figure is that you've got your luggage packed 24/7, and you're just always getting on a plane or going somewhere because that's quite a schedule.
And I'm in the middle of remodeling two bathrooms. So there you go.
Oh well, hey.
They're falling apart. They're falling apart. So I had to do something. So yeah, it's crazy. I never know if I'm coming or going because. I think one trip I'm going from, I don't know, California to Chicago, Chicago back to Phoenix, mm-hmm. Phoenix back to New York, and it's just kind of crazy. So,
right.
But you do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Well, listen, James, one really silly question, okay, because this always kind of fascinates me that someone with your ability, with your gift, if you will, and your ability to connect.
The answer is no.
Yeah.
And it's on page 105 of my new book.
105, no. Okay, shut up, Elsa.
You're going to ask me, can I contact people in my own family?
No,
I thought you were.
Okay. Well, can you? The answer is no. James cannot contact people in his own family. No, my question was dumber than that, but that's a good question. Okay. So all I'm imagining you is, okay, first and foremost, when you go out in public, you're a very recognizable person. So just human beings as general, take one look at you, and that's James von Prague. Okay, so you got the regular public kind of like hammering or yammering at you. Do you also have people from the spiritual realm, like hanging out in restaurants and at Walmart, talking to you?
Oh, that's a very good question. That's a smart question. That's a very, very good question. Very insightful. The spirit people are all around, and there are all many levels of spirit. So there are those that are closer to the earth. There are those that are far away from the earth. There are those who hang out who are earthbound, which the show Ghost Whisperer I did was really based upon earthbound spirits. Those that have not passed yet into the light because they want to still. They're attracted to this earthly level, if you will, for whatever reason that is, unfinished business. So I will tell you that they're all around. Am I open to them all the time? No. It's more like I'm a radio, and when I'm at work, I turn the radio on, I tune into a certain frequency of vibration, and then I begin to see them very clearly or feel them or hear them. And that being said, does not mean that I'm completely shut off all the time. I've walked into buildings and I've seen a spirit standing over by sitting down a chair over there or leaning on the wall. I've been in people's houses and I've seen a spirit hanging out. And I don't say anything because I don't want that spirit to know that I can see them because then they behave very differently. and it's my time off. Airplanes, I wrote in my last book, Unfinished Business, I was at an airport and airports are filled with earthbound spirits. And I remember I was sitting on an airplane. I was flying from New York, or no, it was Tennessee. Where was I? It was Nashville to L.A. And I remember sitting waiting for the plane, and this man looked like Elvis Presley, and he was walking all around like it was definitely a spirit, a ghost. Well, I think it was a spirit, not an earthbound one. I got into the plane. I'm sitting next to this beautiful blonde lady, and we're talking, and all of a sudden I see this man again, and he's hanging around. I said, he looks very familiar to me, black hair, big glasses, and who is he? And it was, I'm talking to this lady, and halfway across the country, she tells me that her husband is Roy Orbison.
Oh.
And that's exactly who it was. I'm like, oh, that's who it is. But yeah. I didn't tell her. I could see him because I didn't want to go into that with her personal space. I didn't want to.
Sure,
I wanted
sure.
to respect that. I didn't want to tell her, I see your husband here. But it was very interesting. So they are around us a lot. I mean, spirits, of course, the love bonds continue on. So they're around us. But I'm not bombarded like that. I'm really not. And any medium that says they are, then they haven't developed properly. That's really, really important.
So there is an on and off switch.
You bet. And if you don't know how to turn it on and turn it off, then you're opening yourself up to levels which can really harm you because they'll pull at you energetically and they can deplete you. So, you know, I've done classes with people, students, and then they go out and start doing readings, which is completely wrong because they need to develop their abilities properly. And, you have to learn how to do it. So, yeah.
Right. And speaking of teaching, okay, besides the fact that you do in-person workshops and you teach on a cruise and all over the place.
Yeah, the Mega Institute also.
Yeah, what I love is you also have online courses on your actual website. So if
yeah, very successful. People love them. Yeah.
Love them. So, you know, the one thing I want to tell everyone is vanprague.com, vanprague.com. And if you go to James's website, everything from his calendar events, so you can find out where he's going to be, if maybe you want to go to one of the book signings, the various different events that he's going to be at. You can also, the books, the online courses, there's interviews that you can watch. There's all kinds of things there. And not to mention the chat room, which is
right.
The JVP community, the message boards. It is just an inspiring website. It's huge, and it's a must-see. So, again, vanprague.com.
Thank you. Yeah, we've had a lot of people comment on those online. It took me forever to do them, the online courses, because, again, I have, you know, integrity with my work, and I want to make sure it's the right thing. And we've just had such an incredible success with those as far as
sure.
the response from people after taking the class. They want another one, and they said, my life has changed, and thank you them for putting this on. And, yeah, sure. Thank you for mentioning it, because there's a lot of success with that for people.
Well, a lot of people, you know, you have people from all across
the world. All over the world come.
Mm-hmm. All over the world. And maybe not everybody can jump on a cruise or go to one of your events.
Exactly. That's exactly
so
why I did it.
It makes it affordable mm-hmm. for anybody.
And they can keep it forever. It's like once you buy it for 30, mm-hmm. whatever, it's $30, I think. You can just
exactly.
keep it forever. It's yours forever to go back
exactly.
and, you know, you can
right.
use it again. So, yeah,
mm-hmm. it's an incredible service, you know, because it's there's no reason why you can't afford it because it's just extremely reasonable. So
it changes your life.
It can change your life.
Exactly. Can we put a price on that? Hello. It's like when I do these events sometimes and I pay, you know, I have to pay for the venue, whatever, and I don't make much money on the whole thing. I really don't. And people say, well, you know, $100, it's $100 to change your life. When one message right. that comes through for somebody else could affect you, or you get a message, or just the perspective sure. of things. You know, like, it can change your life, and I don't know, I once said it, when I did private readings many, many years ago, I remember a lady at the end said to me, and they always stayed with me, she said, you know, James, I'm going to tell you something. An hour with you is like 2 years with a therapist. And I thought, like, yeah, I think that's kind of it, because it gets right into the point of, you know, the being, who this being is, and what, how they work, and what their, you know, soul level is, and, you know, where they're coming from, and,
sure.
yeah, it really hits those things. So, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, listen,
I'm also
James,
on Facebook, too, which I'd like to invite everybody.
Oh,
please
yeah.
join my page. I'm on there every day. I make comments. I invite people to things. And I'm having a whole contest for my new book on the website and on Facebook for readings. And we have some pre-readings. So please join my Facebook, which is, of course,
Facebook
James
and Twitter. Okay.
Yep.
So, yep. Yeah, okay. Twitter him, Facebook him.
And this
okay.
is hard for me to mention myself. I don't talk well about, you know, publicizing my own stuff, so. Thank you. Thanks for letting me do this.
Well, oh, no, hey.
I'm not a good promoter for myself.
It's all about you tonight, James, okay? It's all about you, okay? But I do, as you probably were aware that when we came onto the show, poor Seth, the phones were ringing off the hook at the station. And I know that you're tired. I know that you've had, you know, been through a rough day. So the one thing that I do want to tell all of our listeners, I just want to tell you that James is going to be taking a few calls here, you know, but we're not doing readings this evening. However,
yeah, it'd be better if I don't do readings. You know, some things come through, fine, but yeah,
exactly.
Because I don't want to open myself up when I'm tired, because that's not good.
Exactly, and that's the wise thing to do,
right?
And understandable as well. And so we all have to be a little bit respectful of that. But you know, let's face it. I mean, if you're a fan of James and you just want to have that opportunity to connect to him and maybe let him know just how much you appreciate his work, this is a wonderful opportunity to call in and just let him know that. Maybe you have a question about the spiritual, you know, God knows he can answer just about any topic anywhere, so that would be something that certainly he could respond to. Maybe you're like me and you've read one of his books and you found it extremely inspirational and you'd like to share that with James. So we will take some calls here. I just want to throw out the numbers to you. Toll free 888-815-9756, which is USA and Canada. And also you can call in on 530-776-5185, 530-413-4522. And I just want to remind you all, I mean, not that you need reminding, but we are talking to James von Prague himself, world-renowned psychic medium. And we're also, you know, having this wonderful conversation about this new book, Growing Up in Heaven. So I also want to refer all of you, you know, just hop on over to Amazon.com, just put it in a search, and you will, you know, potentially there's a button right there, and you can pre-order this book, because this is coming out in May. And earlier James discussed all the various different aspects of that book, and for me, I know that I'm really looking forward to reading it, James.
There's parts of soul makeup, soul lessons, soul returns, spirit signposts, how do you know they're around you, moving on, what it's like when a child transitions, what it's like when they arrive in the spirit world. So it's a good book. It's very full of wisdom, if you will.
Okay. It sounds like to me like Seth is strong-arming the phones. You know.
Go, Seth, go. He has a nice sounding voice, by the way, when he first talked to me.
Oh,
he should be in radio. I don't know.
I told him that.
It's very true.
Oh, Seth, honey, get on my show. I'd like him for a co-host. He's got that kind of a voice.
Yes, I agree with you. And he's a healer, too, so perfect. Two healers working together.
Yeah, he's beautiful. I do want to ask you one quick question, as long as we're not being bugged. Hey, I'm all go for that.
But,
okay, so I got to say, you got to be pretty brave to put yourself out there as a psychic medium.
And you bet.
I say, you've got to be pretty thick-skinned as well. And luckily for you, you don't care what other people think, so that's great.
Exactly.
But there's always going to be a skeptic in the crowd, and let's face it, skepticism is a good thing, and it, you know,
right,
to a certain extent.
That's right.
But there are those individuals that you could give them all the evidence in the world, and they're not going to believe a single thing that you say. So let me ask you this. Has it ever come to the point in your career when you're kind of getting beat up on that you just think, you know, I really need to quit this, get a normal job? Have you ever felt like so disillusioned, or ever felt like, you know, why am I doing this?
It's a good question. I'm glad you asked it, because not many people would ask it. I'm glad you did. I, from a very young age, when I first started doing this work around 24 or 25, and I was working at Paramount Studios, and I had a great job in the syndication department preparing contracts for TV shows like the Arsenio Hall Show, and it was paid very well. It was a management job, had great benefits, if you will, health benefits and insurance, and I had a car. And I gave that up to do spirit's work, to be a messenger. Now, because I was sitting in a development circle then, and I knew who my spirit guides were, and I was contacting with them and communicating with them on a regular basis. And they said to me, listen, we'd like you to work with us full-time. And if you work with us full-time, we'll always take care of you. And I just knew inside me that was the right thing to do, because I knew the energy that came through was so incredible. That loving energy was indescribable, and I knew that was the most incredible thing I could do on this earth to help someone else out that way. So I gave up that well-paying job to do spirit's work, and they always took care of me. Now, doing this work, like we go back when I being a pioneer, no one was really doing it then except George Anderson. He was out there doing it, but no one was really out in the forefront doing it. And I was, and I knew that I had to do spirit's work, because that was the most important thing. What people thought about me, I couldn't get caught up in that, because if I got caught up in that, then that was the ego talking. And
sure.
And if you have ego like that, then you can't let spirit through, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to make sure my ego was certainly in check and proper. I had to have a healthy ego, but I couldn't let the ego take over, and I never have. I've never let that, thank God. It's always been in check. I've always been pretty balanced with that, because I know spirit's in control. So I've had my, you know, the Skeptic Societies and all those peoples, and I don't even mention their name because I've made them famous over the years. I think, like you said earlier, it's good to be skeptical, and I believe that. I think everybody should be skeptical. I was skeptical when I did this. I didn't believe in this when I first, Life After Death Communication. It was very new to me, and I thought, I like black and white. It's got to be facts. But who am I to think this is all there is? I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. And then I realized I can't describe, you know, how can you describe consciousness? How can you describe dreams? How can you describe a thought? I mean, it's impossible in a way because it's not tangible per se. So I have had run-ins. Barbara Walters 2 years ago when I was on The View, and she was in a really bad state. I saw her health aura, and it was bad. And I told her after the show, I said to her, you know, I'd like to do a reading if you ever want one again, because I did one 10 years earlier, which she was blown away by. Never went public with that. Anyway, it was just fine. And then when I did The View, and she said, yes, I'd like a reading by you, I said, okay, I'll come sometime and we'll do one. And she wouldn't let me out of the studio afterwards. She grabbed me and she said, what do you see? What do you see? Now, she has no understanding of how I work. So I told her, well, listen, what I might get, I might pick up on something that I see. It might not happen right now. It might be in the future. I'll just tell her what I'm getting. And I saw white blood cells, and I said, and I felt like around, they weren't flowing well in the heart. Blood, you know, flowing in the heart. And I said, I see there's a problem with blood cells. And it could be the heart, could be a bloodstream. I'm not sure, Barbara. And she took that as literal, and she called the doctor, and he said, no, you're fine. Your blood is fine. And I think it was, 8 months later, she had a heart thing go on. So that's what exactly what that was. And she went on her show, and she said, oh, this man is dangerous. And I said, that's really not right to do that, because all these people look up to her kind of in a way. She's in a position. And she shouldn't say that without me there defend myself and tell people on television how properly you receive reading. So sure. So that to me was like, well, I know who I am. I know the way the work, how the work is translated and given out,
sure.
How
sure.
Open people are, how close-minded. So it really makes you stronger. It really does. I can't, you know, the love of spirit is so strong. And,
right.
And the connection I make for somebody far, far, far outweighs what anyone thinks about me. I mean, it really does. I mean, when I come through and bring it through a son to his dead parent, and the son said, Daddy, thank you for putting that big tattoo on your chest for me, and the father opens up, the father, a complete non-believer, dressed up in complete leather, by the way, because the Harley Davidson guy, opens up his shirt, and in Gothic letters, my beloved son Michael, tattooed on his chest and stomach. I can't describe it. How can you describe that? You know, that says it all, you know?
No, you absolutely can't.
So that love transcends death, and that's what it's about. That's really
right.
What it's about.
Right. Well, you know, I know that I've always, most of my life, I discovered numerology as a child, as very spiritual, but I worked as an artist. I mean, quite frankly, I made a living as an artist. And then my hand broke. You know, I couldn't do the work anymore. I had tendonitis. Nothing was working. And I knew I could help people with numerologists. As a numerologist, so I kind of put it out there to God, and I said, okay, if this is what you want me to do, then open the doorway, and I promise I'll go through it, and I promise I'll help people, but just show me that door. And it was within 2 weeks of that I was invited to go on a spiritual conference cruise as the numerologist. I don't think a door gets any bigger than that. And I'm just like you, you know, you just do the work, and you're provided for, you're taken care of, and I've just seen incredible, wonderful things since, you know, I started. And you know, it's an amazing thing working with spirit, you know, and trusting. And you've done just incredible things. But, you know,
let me just interrupt by saying that, because you just opened up my mind when you say that. Creativity for people, you know, creativity, I believe, is God. God is creativity. Creativity is God. And we all have that energy. We're all God. And it's manifested in everyone in a little different, just differently. You know, and with you, the art, my gosh, that's amazing, to bring God through in color. And then bring God through in numbers. And do you do any more painting now at all? Do you do any artwork at all?
My hand's broken. It just doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't work anymore.
No.
Let me ask you this. What about using your palms?
Well, I think
hand painting.
I think the creativity comes out in the words now. It comes out
in
writing.
That's what happened to me, too. I do it through my books, and I do it a lot through gardening. I love gardening, and it's that creative flow through gardening, through the colors and the flowers and putting them all together. Yeah, it's that creative force, however it comes through you. Everybody's a medium. It's just in their own way. Every single person is a medium.
Everyone is.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, listen, I'm not sure because I don't want to put you to work, but I do think that maybe we got time for a call or two.
No, we can take calls. I'm sitting here waiting for calls. It's no problem. I'm enjoying myself. I'm on my website in the frivolity room with everyone laughing and talking and listening. I'm multitasking as we're doing this, so do not worry.
Everyone. I'm waving hi to everyone in the chat room. Hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Okay. All right. So I'm not sure if we got somebody on the line, so what I want to check, because I thought I heard a beep, and that's how I know we've got a caller. So, listen, caller, if you're hanging out there, say hi. Let me know that you're there.
Hello.
Hi there. Who's this?
Hi, Allison. It's Allie. Hi, James. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Allie. Nice to meet you. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm a friend of Allison's, and I actually happened to get through, so I'm very grateful. But
you have an N.
I wanted to just thank you for the work. You and George Anderson were two of the people that were very influential for me as a young woman. And I guess a quick question would be is, what would you give as an encouraging word to even the semi-seasoned mediums like us, like me?
What I would say to you is definitely meditation, because meditation is really the key to bringing you right back to source, bringing you to center, and enhancing your abilities and enhancing your creativity and really getting to know yourself better. And that's really done through meditation. I mean, I do, and it's not necessarily formal meditation. I mean, I have that meditation on the line. We talked about the online course. I have one there, which is incredible. But it's just also like gardening and meditation, photographs, photography, painting, writing, a form where you go into the stillness, you know? And that's really what I go to. And that'll enhance your innate self. That's the number one way, I would say.
I appreciate that. And then just another thing is could you just put some energy out there that I can spend an entire week with beautiful you at Omega in July?
Oh, yeah, come to Omega. Oh, my God. Let me share with you Omega. when I go to Omega, you know, we talked before about how my guide came through a couple of years ago at Christmas. When I do a week at Omega, 2 years ago, and I was there for a full week, I'm in a meeting, the last day, and I didn't even know I was doing a spirit was control. I didn't know I was doing this. I went into trance. And we did a healing circle. And for one person at a time comes in the middle of the circle, we create a column of light. And I go into complete trance, and my guides came through, several guides. And they told people certain conditions that were going on in their body. And there was a major healing. Every single individual went into that circle. It was incredible. So you never know what's going to happen to the Omega events. It's really pretty amazing. So
I'm trying to manifest that, and then I just wanted to know who I have to sleep with to get you as a guest on my show.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I'm not telling
my
who
agent,
I had to
I guess,
sleep with.
I don't know.
I'm not telling who I had to sleep with to get him as a guest.
I'm from New York,
girl.
Too, James. We got a little bit of a sense of humor, but...
No, she got me.
All right, so
I'm available. I'm available and I'm free. I'll put you that way. I'm available and free, so there you go.
Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. It's great.
And I really hope that I get to manifest.
Oh, I hope to see
you
at Omega. I'm looking forward to seeing you at Omega. I'm already projecting you there.
Okay, awesome. I love you. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, well... Okay, everyone, I didn't have to sleep with anybody to get James on my show. Okay, I just want to clarify that, okay? Just clarifying, okay? I mean, it's so, you know, you are so busy. I know just trying to get a hold of your assistant is like, that's crazy. And getting back to me because she's trying to reach you, I know how busy you are. So, you know, I can't even begin to express to you how incredibly grateful I am that you took time out of your schedule to come on my show. And I know that my listeners, they're your people, James.
I had so many
comments on my Facebook when I sent out my email blast. All these people were emailing me and going, "Oh my God, I love him." You really probably don't know. You know how they say that you're in the physical and you don't understand the ripple effect of your work and how much healing and how much influence you have on people and how loved you are. But trust me, from my emails and the response that I got just by people knowing you're coming on the show, you're a very loved, respected, admired teacher, and I just can't even thank you enough. I know I'm
blubbering. Thank you, sweetheart. That's very, very sweet of you. I appreciate that, and that's back at you, because we all do our bit, and That's very, very sweet. I appreciate you saying that. That's very nice.
Okay, well, we only got a few minutes left on the show, and I know somebody else beeped in, and they would probably cry if we hung up on them. So really,
oh, we can't do that. If they can't get on your show, come on to my website, because I'm gonna be answering questions in my frivolity room for quite a while. So
okay,
I'll still be on there for a while.
Be on his website. So okay, really quick, caller, who's calling?
Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to have the opportunity to thank James. Hi, James.
Hi, Michelle. Hi, good. It's good. I'm glad you called. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much.
Good.
Like you said, I'm just very thankful that I have the chance to actually speak to you, get my words to you, and let you know how much your books and your words have affected my life and showed me healing, taught me forgiveness and compassion, and most definitely love. And
that's
I just
want
to say thank you. Thank you for all that you do.
That's very nice. Thank you. That's very, very nice. And you know what I say to you and to everybody, like, you know, gets this, just share it with somebody else, because that's what it is. Love is never to keep. Love is to share. So all the lessons you learn from the books and the teachings, just share it with somebody else. And you never know. You can plant those seeds. And even if you might think someone's not ready for it, you just plant the seeds, you know, and don't let the ego get in the way of it. Just send it out there to whoever think it might help one day. Even, you know, I'm leaving a book, Healing Grief, or Talking to Heaven, or the new book, Growing Up in Heaven, for someone who lost a child. You know, they can help. It can help people. So you never know where the seeds go and how they're going to help people in the right time, you know, when they germinate.
Absolutely.
So thank you.
Thank you for calling
thank
in,
you
Michelle.
So much.
Thanks, Michelle. Appreciate it.
Thank you, honey. All right. Well, listen, James, I'm sorry. You know, it's amazing. And you talk pretty fast.
I do.
You still filled up my hour. I mean,
I met Shirley MacLaine once. She's a friend of mine. And the first time I met her, she's looking at me like, what? What? I said, well, and you're talking too fast. You're talking too fast. And I said, well, and the next time she met with me, she said, I got it. I said, what do you got? And she said, I got it. Now I know why you speak so quickly. And I said, could it be that I'm from New York? And she said, no, it's the vibration that you're attuned to.
Yeah, you're at a higher vibration.
So I think that is part of it. I think that's part of it. Yeah, and I also think I want to get a lot done in this lifetime. So I just
well, you know, what I'd like to see is you know, you back on TV. I'd like to see, you know, I don't know if there's something else wonderful and great, but, you know, I do nothing but always will be your avid fan, always will be following your career, always will be cheering you on, and thankful that you're here on this
thankful.
Planet.
Oh, thankful. Thank you. I appreciate that. On TV, I'm working on some things. We'll see. On YouTube, I put all my Beyond Show clips on YouTube.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's vanprogdotcom.com .com, but
okay.
Those are all my clips from Beyond, if people want to watch that. And I'm still trying. I'll be on there. I was just invited to do a show with Ice-T, so who knows? We'll see.
Well, we'd love to see you again. So
thank
listen,
you,
everybody. It's vanprog.com. Go there. Jump on the chat room, and James will be there. He'll still be chatting. And, James, thank you again. Can't thank
thanks,
you enough.
Thanks, Al. Appreciate
you
your help.
You made my night. So
thank you, sweetheart. I really appreciate you having me on.
Okay.
Okay. God bless. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. All right, everybody. So that's the show. I'm telling you, sometimes I just got to pinch myself and say, wow. You know, I just got to talk to James Von Prague for an hour. How lucky am I? So I'll be back next week. You all may not know this, but it is going to be my farewell show. I'm taking a little bit of break from BBS. So I really do hope that you join me next week on my show. And maybe we'll talk about all the good times that we had, all the wonderful guests. And, you know, hopefully you can give me a good send-off. So until then, I hope you all have a really wonderful week, and I'll see you again next Monday at 8 o'clock. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.